Welcome to St. Luke's Lutheran Church's weekly sermon podcast, where our mission is clear: to love, serve, and welcome all. By all, we mean the whole rainbow of God's people. Join us as we dive into the Word of God to discover how to be a disciple of Jesus, living our faith every day. Let's walk this journey of faith together.
The Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. We are in the middle of a sermon series, and every sermon stands on its own, so you don't have to be at one to understand each sermon. So here's the sermon series on the yellow card. So if you want to invite a friend to the next sermon series, you can do so. And for first-time guests, there's an insert in the bulletin if you'd like to take notes or follow along with the sermon, and on the back there are questions for reflection later on or to discuss with your family or your life group. Today we are talking about doubt. Swampland visitations. This is what psychotherapist and author James Hollis calls times of doubt, despair, or anguish. Even people with strong spirituality and a relationship with God can go through these experiences of swampland visitations. The worst swampland visitation I ever experienced was in the middle of my 5-month chemo treatment. In the previous 6 months before I was diagnosed, Dan's uncle died, my favorite aunt died, and Dan's mom died after a long battle with Alzheimer's. A few months into my treatment, Dan's dad was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. In the middle of my treatment, we got a $10,000 tax bill. We had to cancel summer camp and music lessons for our kids. And then a new study came out which said that it would be better for my chemo treatment if I had bigger blasts of chemo and then if we added some on to the end. So I was already plastered to the bed. I didn't have enough strength to hold a cell phone to my ear while lying in bed, much less take care of our three kids. And it just came over me uninvited. A dark night of the soul of doubt and anguish. It wasn't so much like a swamp as it was a void. The complete absence of God. A dark silence. It was like a hole had opened in the floor and swallowed me. I am not sure how long it lasted, but it lasted long enough for me to think that I had not only lost my faith, but that I would have to give up being a pastor. I was lost in doubt, empty, and alone. Perhaps you too have had a swampland visitation. Times of doubt. They often happen in young adulthood when the black and white faith of our childhood no longer serves us, and we have not yet embraced a relational, dynamic faith that embraces questions and the paradoxes of a dynamic faith. Often, what we are told about God often doesn't fit who we have become as adults. Sometimes what we are told about God makes us wonder, is this really true for me? Does God really love me? Who I am becoming, how I feel. Other times, as in my case, the crises of our life, issues with physical health or mental health or financial struggles stack up so unbearably high. We don't know where to turn, and we wonder, how can a good and loving God exist in the middle of this disaster that I'm going through? Most of us have experienced some version of a swampland visitation. When anguish looms large and faith is faint, when grief holds sway and trust wears thin, when we are left in doubt, feeling empty and alone. Thomas is having a swampland visitation in our text from John. He is still grieving the death of Jesus, and he's mourning his loss. And we don't know where he is when Jesus first appears to the other disciples. Perhaps it's his turn to go to the market and get some fish and some additional bread for lunch. Or maybe he's a dutiful son and he is out checking on his mother. Whatever his tasks, he is not with the other disciples when Jesus first appears to him after the resurrection and he offers them his peace and his spirit. Thomas hears the story, of course, immediately from everyone else, but this leaves him as the odd one out. Everyone has had this incredible experience except for him, and it's all they can talk about. Thomas wonders, well, maybe this is just a big joke and they're pulling my leg. But then it goes on for several days. So then he starts to wonder if it really is true. Well, if he's so all great and powerful, why couldn't Jesus wait until I got back? He had to know I wasn't there. Why didn't he appear when James and John had to go out and get more wine? Why me? Why was I the one who missed out? Jesus must not love me. Jesus must not have wanted to come back and see me. What is wrong with me? Why does Jesus not love me? Thomas's swamp is getting bigger by the minute. So he concludes it cannot be true. He does not believe it. Thomas will never believe it. Not unless he puts his finger in the nail holes of Jesus' hands and his hand in Jesus' side. This has been the worst week of his life. It has been worse than Jesus' death. At least then, their grief was shared, and they were together as a group. But this whole Jesus reappearing ordeal, this has left Thomas in doubt, empty, and alone. But I think this is the whole reason the story of Thomas was written for us. Because Jesus does not leave Thomas empty, in doubt, and alone. The next week, when all of them are together, including Thomas, Jesus reappears to them, and he announces his peace to all of them again. And this time, Jesus singles out Thomas. He singles him out by name, and he gives Thomas the very experience that he asks for. He gives him the very experience that Thomas asks for. And he says, "Here, put your finger here, Thomas, and put your hand here in Jesus' own side." And then when Thomas receives exactly what he needs in the middle of his swamp, he makes the most powerful confession in all of Scripture. "My Lord and my God," which means not only that Jesus is the Messiah, but also that he is the one sent from God, that he is one with God. That is the most powerful confession there is. "My Lord and my God." And Thomas, the one from the middle of the swamp, makes the most powerful confession that we can possibly make. All of this is to say that Jesus is a swamp savior. Jesus is a swamp savior. If you are having a swampland visitation, Jesus is a swampland visitor. That's where Jesus does his best work. He goes straight to where our need is. He enters our doubt, and he comes into our empty and our alone feelings, and that is where he meets us. He's a swampland savior. That is where Jesus meets Thomas, and that is where he finds us. It may take a little time for us to notice. He may send in some other visitors, like he did for Thomas. He may send some witnesses who say, "Hey, I saw the Lord, and this is how he showed up." Or they may say, "I love you, and this is why you are so lovable." Or they may say, "You are going to get through this, and I will say it over and over and over until you believe it with me. And I will show up every day for you until you get through this crap that you're going through." But our risen Lord meets us where we are, in whatever doubts or questions or anguish or swamp we are in, and he finds us there. Romans 8 promises us, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor the stack of life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." And that includes doubts, and that includes questions and anguish and depression and whatever swamp we have been through. Jesus did meet me in my dark night of the soul and doubt, and I experienced two important things as a result. And I will actually have three invitations, one very brief, as a result, for this week for you. The first is that I knew people who had a lot of faith and who were praying for me. And so the first place that Jesus met me was in these people. And in revealing that I could rely on their faith and their prayers when I didn't feel it. And this had never occurred to me before. And so I just said, "I'm relying on other people's faith right now." And I felt their faith carrying me. And that gave me a great amount of comfort because I knew that I was still connected to the body of Christ through them and through their faith and through their prayers. And that gave me a sense of comfort and peace and a sense of the presence of God. And that is the power of this community. And I don't know if anybody has ever told you this before, because when someone is in the swamp of doubt or anguish and can't pray, they can say to themselves, I am connected to this church, and it is full of faithful people who are praying, and I'm relying on them. They are relying on you to carry them right now. So know that most days, your faith and your prayers mean a lot to somebody, and you're carrying someone who's in a swamp and who can't pray and who isn't feeling it, and they're relying on you to hold them and to carry them. And that leads to my first invitation, which is, if you aren't already, take home the prayer list in the bulletin and pray those names as part of your prayer practice a couple of times a week. It doesn't have to be every day, even once a week. Or those at home, you can click the weekly word link. If you have ever had a serious illness or a chronic health issue, you know how much it means to you and your family to know that people in the church are praying for you and how much you rely upon those prayers when you are in the swamp. A second invitation relates to remaining a strong faith community. And I wondered when I was writing this sermon what questions you have about our faith that arises from your doubts. And that if we could address those questions, how might it strengthen and deepen your faith? And so if you are willing, I want you to write your faith questions on the back of your Connect card. Okay, I don't see you moving yet, so I'm going to stop. And if we have enough of them, I can make a sermon series out of it, or we can shape adult education class out of it. And it can be anything like, why do bad things happen to good people? Or why is there so much suffering in the world? Or what's the deal with Job? Or, hey, Revelation, how bizarre. But anyway, so what are the questions of doubt that really rankle your faith? And write them down. And if you want to make it anonymous, there are extra Connect cards in the gathering area, and you can write it on that if you want to do it anonymously, and turn those in, and I can preach about them. We can do an adult ed class about them, but let's address the questions that cause doubt, or even if they don't cause you doubt, just questions that you want answers to, and let's address those as a community and deepen our faith together. So that's an easy one. You can do that before you leave. The other way that Jesus met me in my dark night of doubt was revealing that faith is not always a feeling or an experience. And I guess I sort of knew this already, but I was kind of spoiled, you know? And I really enjoyed having a lot of experiences of faith. You know, it's wonderful when faith is a feeling and when it is an experience, but the ups and downs of my life do not change the reality or the existence of God. And I learned that again in this experience. But the other side of it, Jesus showed me, was that I was experiencing God more often than I realized. Because as 1 John 4:16 says, God is love. Every experience of love that I had was an experience of God. There were so many people helping us out of love. Then I found the less I focused on my misery and the more I focused on how much I loved my children, how much I loved my husband, how much I loved my family, how much I loved my church, the more prayer came back into my life and the emptiness receded. I can still picture the moment. I don't know when it was, but I can still picture the moment. This picture of this dark circle around me, but there was this burning flame of love that was lit up inside me for my children. And I remember that burning feeling of love and God here, and the darkness starting to push away. I can still remember that moment when it began. God showed me all experiences of love are God. Each time we receive love, we are being loved by God. Every moment we give love, we embody the risen Christ. Every time we share love, we express faith in the God whose love is more powerful than doubt or death itself. All experiences of love are experiences of God. So I was experiencing God all the time. It didn't mean I felt a warm fuzzy, but people were in and out of my room with God all the time. For your second practice, I invite you to pay attention to your experiences of love this week. Giving it, receiving it, sharing it. It could be words of affirmation. It could be acts of service, hugs, spending quality time, gift giving, or any other expressions of love. How does it change your experience when you remind yourself that this is an experience of God for you? How many times does God show up in your daily life when you count every experience and expression of love that you give and receive, however small, as a Jesus moment? I challenge you to keep a running list and see if you can share and receive more love each day. How much love and how much God are you going to have by the end of the week? I find that just so exciting. How much love and how much God are you going to have by the end of the week? And you know what? Who knows? You might be sent by Jesus as a swamp visitor one day to someone else who needs love, and you may not even know it. Isn't that exciting? You could be an incognito swamp visitor, a messenger of love to help somebody that you don't even know. Ooh, look at that. All members of St. Luke's out there, incognito swamp visitors, sending love to people who need to be touched by the love of God. I love that. Ooh, okay, I'm getting excited. So the risen Jesus, he meets Thomas and all of us in our doubts, giving us exactly what we need, his presence and his love. And he surrounds us with this community that embodies his love for us, even when they are not physically present, praying for us and upholding us just by the existence of all of this communal faith. And as we experience this much faith and this much love, we can confidently confess with Thomas, my Lord and my God, the most powerful confession there is. Now go be an incognito messenger of God's love. Let the church say amen. Amen.
Filled with the resurrection of joy, go in peace to love, serve, and welcome all.
Thanks be to God, and we will.
If you're inspired by this week's message and want to learn more about our mission to love, serve, and welcome all, we invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. We're located at 1210 West Beltline Road in Richardson, Texas. For more information, visit our website at stlukeslutherantx.org. Connect with us on Facebook at stlukeslc or on Instagram at stlukeslutherantx. Thanks again for joining us today, and we look forward to welcoming you into our community.